God for this service tonight, communion service, and we want to get ready for the service tonight by asking you if you would take your Bible and turn to Mark chapter 14 tonight, Mark chapter 14, and here in Mark 14, if you've been reading in Scripture, we had a New Testament reading not too long ago on Mark 14, and how many have heard of Mary of Bethany? You know about Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany did an act of love and devotion in Mark 14 and in Matthew 26, 6 through 13, Luke 7, and in John 12. And Jesus, how would you like Jesus to say something about you in front of the whole world? Because this is in the Word of God, right? He said this about one disciple, one lady, named Mary of Bethany. And he said, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of her for a memorial of her. Mark 14, 9. That's an amazing statement. Think about it. What if Jesus did that for you? What if Jesus did that for one of us? He did that for Mary of a little village called Bethany. I was there in the Middle East and in Israel, and Bethany is just east of Jerusalem. It's a little village there, and she was there, and God said, what she has done, wherever this gospel is preached, I'm going to have this be a memorial to her. You know, when you think about it tonight, I've mentioned Mary of Bethany before. I'll be mentioning her tonight. In fact, the message really has a lot to do with Mary of Bethany. I am fulfilling Bible prophecy right now by what I'm saying. Right. I'm a preacher. I'm preaching to you, and we're talking about Mary of Bethany. And the Lord said, wherever there's gospel preaching preachers throughout the whole world, throughout the history of the church, Mary of Bethany and what she did is going to be remembered. Now, she wasn't thinking about that when she did it, but that is exactly what's going on, and what a blessing that is. So the question tonight is, why is she to be so memorialized, number one, and how does the memorial of her sacrificial offering, how does that relate to us remembering the Lord tonight in the Lord's table and what he did for us? So when we think about the sacrifice of Mary of Bethany, she had a very expensive alabaster box filled with precious perfumed ointment. Judas was the treasurer at the time of that early church. And because he happened also to be a thief, he quickly tabulated in his mind the value of her offering of that alabaster box, because she broke the box and poured the expensive perfume all over the feet of Jesus. And Judas saw that. He was amazed. He was like, oh, she just did that. I can't believe it. Now, he didn't say that right away, but he was thinking it. And he was upset, and because he knew that money was wasted in his mind on the feet of Jesus there, and there she's wiping it with her hair, you know, and he's looking at it, and he's all upset. What a difference in the heart of Mary and the heart of Judas, two people in the same place, and so if you relate this to, like, sometimes a business will hire a laborer off the street, say, I'll pay you $100 a day if you'll help me with some work today. You know, just some laborer that just comes in. Pay you $100 a day. I guess under Biden, it would probably be up with the inflation that they brought in, maybe more, because dollars are inflated. But if you take $100 a day, figure 300 days the person works in a year, that would be... It was worth a year's wage. So that one alabaster box of perfume worth about $30,000, maybe $40,000. You know, I buy my wife some perfume for Christmas, but it's not that much. Thank God. That's a lot. She's worth it, though. She's worth it. But Mary thought nothing of doing that for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it was considered a great waste. But she was worshiping the Lord. You know what worship means? It means worth-ship. She was saying, he's worth it. And you, by your life, you tell whether Jesus is worth it or not. Whether you're like Mary or Judas, she spared no expense, and her offering was a true love and costly gift. Now, the Lord had been explaining to his disciples, I'm going to die, this is coming, I'm going to go through this pain. And it didn't really register with them. Did it register with Mary? Perhaps. I don't know. But I do know this. She did love the Lord and was willing to sacrifice for him. Now, in addition to the horrible, shameful physical sufferings that he was going to do, he was going to go through the worst spiritual suffering. The worst part of his suffering was his being separated from the Father. You know, have you ever felt like you're separated from God? You're really not. You're apparently deserted, but you're never deserted of God. I talk to people, I say, even when your heart is really down, God is greater than your heart. He hasn't deserted you. But with Jesus, that wasn't so. He deserted him. He abandoned him. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the part he was thinking about. That was the greatest sacrifice, worse than the physical sufferings that he was going to go through, worse than the mockery by people that he was going to go through. And he did it for us, for the joy that was set before him. But he was thinking at this time when Mary was making this sacrifice, he saw her. He saw her sacrifice. He saw the widow that gave it all in the temple. He sees what you do. He sees your sacrifice. He sees your love for him. He appreciates it because he knows what value it is. He knows what it costs because he knew what it cost him to die for us. Because of his great love for the Father and for us. And so what did he say when he saw those guys chipping on her? He said this. He said, let her alone. Let her alone. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now right here, what is the Lord doing? He's linking her sacrifice of that $40,000 or whatever it was to his sacrifice for our sins. He's linking them up and he's saying she is, you know, there was going to be at his burial, there was going to be an appreciation. So she was doing that. So tonight the sermon is you should and I should memorialize the Lord's sacrifice. You and I should memorialize the Lord's sacrifice. We should do that. Number one, because the Lord memorialized Mary's sacrifice and tied it to his own. And so we're going to think about that tonight, Mary's sacrifice, and tie it to you and I remembering the Lord's sacrifice for us. Isn't that what he said? Do this in remembrance of me.
Amen.
Shouldn't we take time to do that? That's why I wanted to preach on this tonight. To take time to remember Mary's sacrifice, but to remember how it's tied to the Lord's sacrifice for you and for me. And what did she do? Well, notice that she made her sacrifice just before our Lord was to be crucified and buried. She didn't do it after. She did it before. She got the jump on everybody else. Now, the women came when his body was already in the grave, and they paid for expensive spices, and they did that. Joseph of Arimathea, he gave a very costly tomb for our Lord and gave that to him. And everything was provided for his funeral. Mary did it ahead of time. She did this expensive thing. And the Lord said, she is anointing my body before I die. And what a blessed thing that is. I think of my father, and we just buried my father. He passed away November the 30th at 3 p.m. And we had the funeral there in Grand Rapids in his home church in December. I preached that funeral service. And I remember going with my mom, and we went to the funeral home, Zagman's funeral home, and we got the casket. We bought the stone, and we picked out the gravesite and bought that, and we paid. And when all was said and done, it was around $15,000 for everything, including the wake afterward and all of that. And my father had that money all ready to go for us to do that. He had it prepared ahead of time. Amen?
Amen.
But funerals sometimes cost a lot of money. And our Lord was saying, she has done her part in my funeral. Before I even die, she's showing her love. My father-in-law used to give us money. Sometime he'd give us a new car. Just boom, here's a new car. He'd give us money. I mean, he was a very generous man. My wife's father, one of the most generous people I ever know. And he loved to say this. He said, I want to give this to you so I can see the smile on your face before I die. I want to give this to you so I can see the smile on your face before I die. He's gone, but he did see those smiles. And in memorial to him, I want to say one of the most generous men I ever knew. Not only to us, but to strangers. He would see people, and my wife has story after story. Along the highway, they had a need. He'd give them money. He just did. And I'm saying to you that Mary, she did that for our Lord, and our Lord appreciated that. And I want you to notice that according to Mark 14, verse 3, notice what it says there. It says, and being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment. Now listen, that was Mary of Bethany. Where were they? Where was this dinner held? In the house of Simon the leper. Now, you know what lepers are. Lepers were like this. Get away from me. Unclean. I don't want to get your leprosy. It'd be like you walking in saying, I got COVID. Hi. People didn't want to be around lepers. But what did Jesus do? He reached to the outcast and he healed that leper. And you know what? The Pharisees, they couldn't understand that. And they couldn't understand him having a dinner with lepers. And sometimes people come to this church, they say, I can't understand. You have so many people from group homes in your church. Well, fooey on you. I'd rather have them than you.
Amen.
If that's going to be your attitude. If that's going to be your attitude. I remember when Bishop Timlin said years ago, he said, you people just reach the poor. And he had it in the newspaper. And he put us down because we preached and reached the poor. And he reached the more wealthy people. And therefore, we are somehow a lower class. Let me tell you, the Bible says the poor people heard Jesus gladly.
Amen.
Jesus said, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And the gospel lifts up the poor, as I said this morning, and lifts their lives up. And that's what it's all about. Our Savior came down to lift people up.
Amen.
And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And so there they are in the home of Simon the leper. And there is where Mary showed her love for the Lord. Now, keep in mind that what she did is also recorded in John chapter 12, verse 3. Here's what it says. When she poured out that ointment, it says, the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The whole house, you could smell it when you came in. She poured it out. And what a blessing it was. And it just filled the whole house of Simon the leper. Now, the Pharisees didn't love the Lord, and the Lord rebuked them when the Pharisees would say, why are you letting sinful people like Mary Magdalene touch you? Why are you letting this woman pour perfume on you and wipe it with her hair? And the Lord said to these Pharisees, when I came into your house, you never gave me anything except the dinner, and you weren't appreciative. And he said, those that are forgiven much love much. When you realize, you know, what the Lord has done for you, you love the Lord, and that's what the Lord was saying there. And so Mary was showing her love for the Lord. And what she did, it made a fragrance that filled the whole house of Simon the leper. And I'll tell you what Christ did when he died on that cross and loved us, it fills this church. The lives and the changed lives fill this church, and the appreciation that you show when you serve the Lord and put your life on the line for the Lord and you serve other people and give them the gospel of Christ, that is like a sweet perfume that fills Scranton Revival Baptist Church and fills Scranton and fills this area and fills churches all over the world. And so that is what it does when you pour out your love and return Christ's love. It spreads a sweet fragrance, and that fragrance talks about the lives that are touched by the Lord. Now what was the response? The reason given for her doing it and the reaction to that reason. What about it? Well, the reason she did it was because she was pouring out that ointment and wiping it with her hair, because this was an act of appreciation, of love, and of service. You know what? We don't have to have the greatest voices in the world. There are certain people, they sing like angels, and thank God for that. But I appreciate it when people sing because they love the Lord. They don't have to have the greatest voice. They sing because they love the Lord. I thank God for our music ministry. I thank God for Bob and Angela Bajeski. They stayed up till maybe 1 o'clock almost last night, 1 a.m., just to pick out something this morning that would go along with my message. They have a heart for ministry. I said they have. You say, how do you know that? Actions speak louder than words. They sing to the glory of God. They're ministering. I'd rather have that than any highfalutin professional. That's what we see here, you see. We see love. And it's being shown in a practical way by sacrifice. You can sacrifice your time. You can sacrifice your money. But you're singing for the Lord. And I appreciate it. Some people just do what they do for praise of man. No. Do it for Jesus.
Amen.
Do it because you love the Lord.
Yep.
And Mary did that because she loved the Lord. She wasn't looking to be memorialized, but she is being memorialized. If you seek to be memorialized, then you have your reward.
Right.
But if you seek the glory of God, that reward will come from the Lord himself in deed and in truth. And so when you go out on visitation, when you go out on bus ministry, you are sacrificing. And that's why I wanted to emphasize that tonight during testimonies and nothing else. Because I wanted to emphasize that you are sacrificing and you are showing your love for the Lord in a special way, but sometimes that's not appreciated. And you say, what are you talking about? Here's what I'm talking about. Mark 14, listen to me, in verse 4 it says this, and there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? You say, Pastor, have you ever had people show indignation to you for visiting and knocking on doors like you keep doing? Yes, I still have it. Why do you spend all the time doing that? Why aren't you doing other things with your life? Well, I hope it's because I love Jesus.
Amen.
And I want to sacrifice for him, because he sacrificed and went through the wrath of God and went through hell to pay for the salvation of the world. And I want to show the fragrance of that and make the sacrifice of the time. And some people do not appreciate that, and they show indignation. It's within themselves. They don't always say it. It was indignation within themselves. But then out of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and they said, why was this waste of ointment made? They called it a waste of ointment. A waste of ointment. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money on that church. No, I'm wasting it on the Lord, friends. And that's not a waste. He's worth it. Jesus Christ is worth it. He's worth the time. He's worth the effort. He's worth the sacrifice. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The fool is the one that says there is no Jesus. There is no sacrifice. There is no salvation. That's the fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't listen to the counsel of fools.
Right.
Don't listen to the testimony of fools.
Amen.
Listen to the Mary of Bethany types whose actions speak louder than their words. And so perhaps you have done sacrifice. You have gone out, you have done it, and you've been discouraged or disappointed because you didn't get the response you wanted. Mary certainly didn't get the response she wanted. Not that she even wanted it, but she was hearing criticism and complaint for something good that she was doing. And you know what? The power of life and death is in the tongue. Your mouth can discourage people. I want to use my mouth to encourage God's people.
Yep. Right, yeah.
Your mouth can discourage people if it's used wrong. The power of life and death. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And so here Judas is blurting out, and whoever represented his heart, and criticizing her, and so forth. But the Lord, he didn't do that, did he? He encouraged her, and he would encourage you tonight. I pray that the Lord would encourage you tonight, and let you know your time and efforts are not in vain. Just keep loving the Lord and serving him. Keep your eyes on him. Think about his sacrifice for you. Think about it in the Garden of Gethsemane. Think about it when he was arrested by the Jews as they held their kangaroo court at night. And I went right there where they kept him downstairs in a basement and saw where they kept him. After they beat him and blindfolded him and smacked him in the face and smacked him in the face and kept smacking him. Who hits you if you're such a prophet? Who hits you? Prophesy. Who hits you? That's what they did to our Lord as he went through their buffetings. And then they marched him down the way there. They marched him right along the Kidron Valley from that place where the Jews held their kangaroo court. And they marched him down what's called the brook, the Kidron Brook, the Kidron Valley. And there he was being marched northward. And they brought him down to a place called the Pavement, the place where the Romans held their court, and the governor was there, Pontius Pilate at the time. And the Roman soldiers had a thing. They would put him, they would make a circle, and they would put a guy in the middle of the circle and push him, and he would go across to the other side. They'd push him, and that was part of what they did to him. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns upon him and beat him with a reed until the thorns sunk into his head and the blood came down. They put a gorgeous purple robe on him and bowed down, "Oh, King of the Jews, oh, King of the Jews." And they mocked him. They beat him with a cat of nine tails, nine lashes and bits of glass and stone at the end that would tear into his skin and tear even down his muscle and right down to the bone. He was bleeding profusely. They sent him to Herod, and all the while being mocked and buffeted. He didn't even get on the cross yet, and he went through all of that for us. And God would have us to remember the suffering that he went to, let alone being nailed to that cross and being on there all day, and then having the Father forsake him because the sins of the world were now put to his account. So he was treated as the wickedest person that ever lived, and he did that to take our sin upon himself. And so there he was. Keep your eyes on him. Amen. Keep your eyes when you're going through things in this life and somebody looks at you the wrong way or speaks to you the wrong way. Keep your eyes upon the bleeding, bloody Savior that loved us, on his beautiful face, and keep your eyes on him who put a smile on his face. Just do that, and even though you might not get the response that you expected, he's smiling. He's smiling tonight. He's saying, I appreciate your sacrifice. Just like I have Mary remembered tonight, I memorialize that kind of sacrifice. And so the Lord did that. And he said, verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You see, the Lord doesn't forget you. And so think about that tonight. By the way, the writer to the Hebrews reminds you and I to keep Jesus and his sacrifice always in our mind. He wrote, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think of all the disappointing responses our Lord went through. I know you've been disappointed in serving him and loving him, but our Lord went through, you know, his own brothers didn't believe in him. All during his ministry, they didn't believe in his own brothers. And sometimes it may be your brothers or your sisters, and they don't go along with what you're doing. They don't understand. Well, that's what our Lord went through. Think of all the insults he went through. They said he was a bastard. They said you're born of fornication. They said you are filled with the devil. And they just gave all kinds of criticism of our Lord. And he didn't stop. He never got weary of it. Think of even his disciples and sometimes how off they were. When he was getting ready to die, they were saying, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? And they were arguing about that amongst themselves and wanting glory for themselves. Listen, the glory is when he's hanging on that cross, right? For us. For us. Think about that. That he endured. Be careful to encourage those that are serving the Lord because of, like Mary, they love the Lord. They appreciate the Lord. Value that. Encourage them. And so as we memorialize Mary's sacrifice tonight, we are fulfilling the prophecy that wherever this gospel's preached, she's going to be memorialized. And so in our next service, when you join an independent local church and you're willing to do that so that you can memorialize Christ's death in the right way. And my own mother said, yeah, her church used to do that years ago. They don't do that anymore. But when you do that in the right way, you are memorializing our Savior's suffering for us. And so you should memorialize the Lord's sacrifice because the Lord memorialized Mary's sacrifice and he tied it to his own. And finally, because the Lord memorialized his own sacrifice. He said, she has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. I think we can say Mary made a lot of sacrifice with that ointment, but how much more was our Lord? His blood was poured out. His body was broken. He went through hell. His sacrifice, like Mary's, was costly to him. Far more costly. And yet, just like hers was mocked, his was mocked. Even when he was on the cross, they were mocking him. Come down. Who do you think you are? And they derided him. But yet he stayed there, and the aroma of his sacrifice is now being played out in your life as you pour out your life for him. And his sacrifice, like Mary's, was criticized, and so will yours be. But his sacrifice, like Mary's, is memorialized. When we take the Lord's table, we're memorializing his sacrifice. And he says, when you take my table, I want you to remember that I died not just for you as an individual. I died so that you could be part of a local body of Christ. So you need not only to take the unleavened bread, but you need to be in my body. He says in 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible says, you're discerning, you are to discern the Lord's body. Who is in the local church? That's who takes the table. That's who takes the table. And you say, well, I'm in the universal church. My name is in heaven. It's on the roll. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Then when the roll is called down here, you better be there too. It's not just when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I will be. But thank God when the roll is called down yonder, I'll be there. You see, it's not a universal church until the rapture. Until then, he died and sacrificed himself for a body. And that body is the local New Testament church with pastor and deacons. The local New Testament church, a group of people that have been saved by Jesus, have been immersed one time, and then have been in the place where they can join and function as the body of Jesus Christ and are allowed to take the table because they're members in good standing, not under discipline. And only the church can determine that through what Matthew 18 says and through what the Bible says. And that's why it's important to not despise that he died for the church. What's the church? A called out group of people that assemble, that have been saved and baptized, and have coveted together to have baptism in the Lord's table and to carry out the Word of God. Have you done that yet? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Let's memorialize not only Mary, but our Lord tonight. Let's bow for prayer, and every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. I wonder if you say to